Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama, the daf Vav. First year that I'm recording in Baba Kama. I was away for the last 4 days. Anyway, we're starting on the top of the Amud on Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting with Atzara Shava Shabahen. Okay, so we are going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, back on Beis Amud Aleph, introduces us to the topic of Avos Nezik, and there are categories of Nezik. When you damage someone else's property, so you have to pay. So simple. Such a straightforward halacha. But what we discussed in the course of the first Mishnah is that in terms of categories of destruction, so there are four different main categories. There are Avos Nezikin. And then the first staff of the Masechta talked about Avos Tolados. Both their main categories are going to be subcategories as well. And the subcategories have the same halachas as the main categories. So the answer to that question, if I may, is yes. It's not always true, as the Gemara points out. By Shabbos, it's true. Avos and Toladas are the same. By Tumah, it's not true. An Av and a Talada by Tumah is not the same. But when it comes to Nezikin, when it comes to damages, so effectively an Av and a Nezikin is the same. There was a statement made by Rav Papa, which the Gemara dealt with for over a daf and a half, regarding Rav Papa says that sometimes in Nezikin, the Talada is a little bit different than the Av. But the Gemara then pinpointed exactly what Rav Papa was referring to. But essentially, though, if we could distill, if we could just simply simplify, the halachas of Talados are effectively the same as the Avos. What is effectively an Av? So as we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara discussed, it's the first time I'm saying it on tape, but the Gemara says that what an Av is basically anything that's written in the Torah. If you have a form of Nezik that's written in the Torah, so that's what's called an Av. It has a particular characteristic to it. And so what we've been discussing for the last number of days since the beginning of the Mishnah are the particular characteristics of each one of the Avos. That's what we've been focusing on over the course. There is a basic machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of the actual definition of what are the Arba Avos of the Mishnah, the Shorbor Mave Hever. So what exactly does that make reference to? So that is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which we've been discussing, and will continue to become a discussion. In the meantime, however, we are up to the next part of the Mishnah, meaning after having attacked in the Mishnah the definitions of what Shorbor Mave Hever are, and the Mishnah then pointing out that they're not exactly the same, each one of them has an independent characteristic. Shor is not like Mav, and Mav is not like Shor. They're both not like Aish. The Aish is not like Bor. Okay, so in other words, each one of them has their own characteristic. And then the Mishnah says, Hatsara Shavashabahan, what is a common denominator between all of them? Is that Shadarka Lahazik Shmer Samalecha, that they all are damaging, they all have a way about damaging, and you are responsible to pay for any of the damages that it did. Now, when the Mishnah makes a general statement like that, you know what's happening, because it always happens throughout the Gemara, and that is obviously the Mishnah's intent to make an inclusive statement. Something that's not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, but intimated in that line of Hatsara Shavah Shabahem. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us what is the common denominator? We kind of knew that. Meaning after having discussed what the Avos are, obviously you have to make restitution for any damages that are made if it fits under any one of the categories. So what is that? Why does the Mishnah have to say Hatsara Shavah? So what is that coming to include? So here the Gemara begins the discussion, which is really going to take up the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and that is, give me a situation where it is going to be basically damages, and it's not going to fit in neatly into any one of the four characteristics, the four of us mentioned in the Mishnah. And essentially what we're going to have to do is, we're going to look at cases which are kind of blended between multiple avos, and still the point is that even though, despite the fact that it's a blended type of damage, nevertheless, you're going to be responsible to pay. So, the Gemara is going to give a number of suggestions of what that is making reference to. So, let's begin now. Number one. So, here we go now. Here's the following scenario. You have up on the roof a knife or a stone or a some sort of weight. And what happened was is that a regular wind took it off the roof, blew it off the roof, and put it into the public domain. And then somebody stepped on it and hurt themselves. Okay, so what just happened over here, so you didn't place it in the Rishus HaRabim, you placed it on the rooftop. However, it wasn't a crazy wind, it was just a normal wind that blew it off the rooftop and put it into the Rishus HaRabim. You are going to be responsible for the damages, and the question, of course, is why? Why should you be responsible for the damages? Well, the Gemara says, well, first of all, if it damaged while it was being blown off the roof, so then it's not a blended category. Then it's just simply Eish. Meaning, what is Eish? Ma'ishna Eish de koach acher merav bo ma'mon choshmer sa malecha. Hanina mi koach acher merav bo ma'mon choshmer sa malecha. Because the characteristic of Eish is that fire is going to be assisted by nature. Wind is going to blow the fire and spread it into somebody else's property, and you're going to be responsible to pay. That's Eish, and that's the characteristic of Eish. So, if I have, let's say, a knife on the rooftop, and it was in a position where just a regular wind would have blown it, so just like a regular wind blowing fire is going to make me obligated to have to pay, because that's Eish, so this is really no different. I know it's not a fire, but characteristically, it's the same thing. And so therefore, I'd have to pay. So So the Gemara says, okay, so that can't be the Mishnah case, the case we're looking at, because that's not a blended case. That's just Eish. So now the Gemara says, here's what happened. The knife was blown off the roof by a regular wind, landed in the Rishos HaRabim. After landing in the Rishos HaRabim, then someone tripped on it and cut themselves and damaged themselves. Or damage somebody else's property. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Now the Gemara says, let's go one step further. Now if you were mafkirit, so that means that you declared it ownerless, you didn't care for it anymore. So then basically what we have over here is the category of bor. Bor, I put something dangerous in the Rishus HaRabim. I don't want to claim ownership to it anymore. But as we discussed already a couple days ago in the daf, doesn't matter. When it comes to bor, once I create a damaging situation for Rishus HaRabim, even though I no longer declare myself to be the owner, I, as far as all damages are concerned, I'm the owner. I'm the responsible party for any damages that it does. So over here, if I have a knife, that it's my knife, it's in the Rishus HaRabim, I declare it ownerless. So once again, this is not a blended scenario. This is just a simple case of bor. So that's exactly the case of bor. So once again, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me, well, sometimes we're going to have a blended case. This is not a blended case. Ella the lo afkarinu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the knife was on the rooftop. I left it there on the rooftop. And I was irresponsible for doing so. It got blown off by the wind. It went into the Rishus HaRabim. And I never was mafkir the knife. I never declared it to be ownerless. So the Gemara says, well, l'shmol damar kula mibor lamanu hainabor. Well, the Gemara says, well, this is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What would be the situation in which, if I, let's say, left something in the Rishus HaRabim and don't declare it to be ownerless, am I going to be responsible? Is that a subcategory of bor? That's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. But according to Shmuel, and this is the way the halacha follows, that's still a category of bor. So the Gemara says, so now, once again, we're at an impasse. Why is this a scenario in which it doesn't either neatly fit into Eish, meaning it did the damage while it was being blown off the rooftop, and that's really a subcategory of Eish, or it damaged somebody after it landed, but that's really just a function of bor. So now, the Gemara is struggling to understand, why are we calling this a blended scenario? So the Gemara says, let's go back and let's try to do this again. La'olam dafkarina. So really, the Gemara says that when the knife landed the Rishus HaRabim, you declare it to be ownerless. Velo dam labor. But the Gemara says, but still, I can't call this just bor alone. Why? So the Gemara says, because look, when it comes to bor, so when I created the bor, in the formation of a bor, did I have any part of nature assist me in doing so? No. I did it all on my own. I was the one who exclusively dug up the pit in order to expose the damage in a Rishus HaRabim. And I didn't have any wind or any natural phenomena help me. I did it exclusively on my own. So the Gemara says, so here, the knife, I didn't put the knife in the Rishus HaRabim. I put the knife on the rooftop. The wind blew the knife from the rooftop into the Rishus HaRabim. But can I call this really just bor by itself? Not really, because bor is something where I create the hazard with no assistance whatsoever. I do it exclusively on my own. So I really can't call it a boor. So the Gemara says, Eish tochiach. Or the Gemara says, okay, you don't want to call it a boor, that's fine. But really, why not call fire? Mala eish shekein darko leilech ulahazik. Boor tochiach. I'm sorry. Shekein darko leilech ulahazik. So the Gemara says, well, if I'm going to call it a fire, I really can't do that as well. Because fire does damage while it's traveling. Here, the damage was done after it was put at rest. So I really can't call it Eish. So the Gemara says, V'chazer Adin. And so therefore, really what we're going to have to do is arrive at this through the combination of Bor and Eish. So basically now, what the Gemara is saying is, although we wanted previously to refer to this as a singular Av, of either Bor or that of Eish, the Gemara says when you think about it, and the more you think about it, you realize it's really not a singular Av. It really is a blended Av. A, it got blown off the rooftop. So once you have an assistance of wind, so that's like Eish. B, is that it did the damage, but only after it landed in the Rishos HaRabim. And it didn't damage while it was traveling. So that's more like Bor. So which one is it? And the Gemara says that's exactly the point. That's the situation in which we're going to need a compound Av in order to arrive at the conclusion that you're going to be responsible for the damages, because it really is a blend of Eish and Bor. Ultimately, when all said and done, so the one of the more fundamental questions, which I'm not really sure if I have an answer, but is there such a thing as a blended Av? Meaning, what's clear from the Gemara is that you're responsible for the damages. That's clear. That goes without saying. And the Gemara says, and we know this because the Mishnah says, Hatsara Shava Shabahen, because there is a common denominator. And the Gemara says, and we're putting together the Avos of Avon, I'm sorry, of Bor and Eish in order to arrive at this conclusion. But basically, what I'm asking is, and without an answer, is that, are we saying now that there's such a thing as a multiple Av Nezik, or are we saying that it's really fundamentally one Av, even though it gains assistance from another Av? Okay, and the question, I think, is a little bit more abstract than it is practical, meaning what difference does it make? But, okay, it's something worth considering. Rav Amar Lasuye Bor, Amiz Gagal, Viragle Adam, Uviragle Behema. So the Rav says, I'll give you another suggestion. And maybe Rav doesn't disagree with Abaye, although could be. Usually when Abaye and Rav are presenting, they disagree with one another. But again, all we're doing over the course of the first half of this morning is we're coming to situations of Nezek where it's not exclusively one Av, but really it's a blend between two Avos. So Rav says, let's consider the following. Borim is Gaga Baragle Adam Baragle Behema. Let's say you have a pit that was kicked around. Now, obviously, we can't talk about a physical pit, a hole in the ground that you're kicking around. It's kind of hard to kick around a hole in the ground. It means, right, something that categorically is Bor that gets kicked around the Rishos HaRabim. So, hey, Chidam, so the Gemara says, so what are we talking about over here? Edaf Karino. So, if let's say the following scenario. Okay, can easily envision this. This happens all the time. You're driving a 95, somebody drops something at 95, and then it gets basically thrown around from one lane to another, you know, based on... It happens all the time.
All the time.
Right. So and so now the one who dropped it, is he going to be responsible? So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rav and Shmuel, once you declare it ownerless, it was your item, but you declared it ownerless, that is the category of Bor. There's really nothing to talk about. Meaning, it's not a blended scenario, it's exclusively Bor. That's exactly what the characteristic of Bor is. Is that it's something where you dug a hole in the Rishus HaRabim, someone fell into the pit, damaged while falling into the pit, and you're responsible to pay. Well, what difference is it over here if I drop something on 95 and it gets kicked around and someone damages themselves on it? Ultimately, it's a pit.
No, because
the
pit doesn't move.
Okay, you're only one step ahead of where we are right now, but good. So Ella de lo afkarinim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you dropped something in the Rishos HaRabim and you were in mafkarit. It didn't declare it to be ownerless. The Gemara says, Shmuel damar kulam amibor lamanu hainu bor. So the Gemara says, well, according to Shmuel, well, okay, but still, again, the halacha follows like Shmuel, that if I create a bor in the Rishus Rabbim and I don't declare it on the list, that still is fundamentally a bor. So over here, it's fundamentally a bor. So la'olam dafkarinu v'lo dam la'bor. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back and let's revisit this again. We are talking about a scenario in which I drop something in the Rishus Rabbim, it's kicked around, either by people or by animals, it doesn't really matter. It gets kicked around, and then someone damages. I still cannot call this exclusively a bor. Why? Malabor shekein ma'asav garmulo. Tamar bahani shein ma'asav garmulo. You see, when it comes to a pit, when I dig a pit and someone falls into it, the only action that is responsible for that other person's damages is my action. And only my action. I dug a pit right here. He fell, he tripped in this pit that I dug right here. So ultimately, that's bor because nothing else contributed to the damage. However, over here, when I dropped the stone into the Rishus HaRabim, and then it got kicked around, well, if nobody kicked around, so then that person who tripped over it is not going to get damaged. Now, of course, it's true that somebody else might have gotten damaged by it, but that particular person would not have got damaged had it not been kicked around. So I can't call this exclusively bor, because it's not just my actions, it's my actions plus. So the Gemara says, fine, sure yochiach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember, when your ox is going through a Rishus HaRabim, and it does damage, and even though it's moving around, nevertheless, you're going to be responsible for the damages. So the Gemara says, Malashur shekein darko leilech la'azik. So the Gemara says, yeah, but sure, actually moves, physically moves and does damages. That's not true regarding boar. It's not true regarding the stone that you dropped in the street, even though, yes, it's true, it got kicked around, but ultimately when someone damaged on it, it's not because the stone moved towards the person, it's because the person stepped on the stone. So I really can't call this a shore. So the Gemara says, Bor tochiach, v'chazar adin lo rizek rizna. So the Gemara says, and basically what we have over here is our blended scenario. In other words, the fact that I drop a stone in the Rishus HaRabim, it gets kicked around, and then someone trips on it, and then someone damages themselves on that stone that I drop, so that's going to have, the reason why I'm going to be responsible to have to pay for those damages is because of a combination of bor and shor. Bor, I left something in the Rishus HaRabim. Shor, even though it moved around like a shor did, nevertheless, I'm still going to be responsible. Okay, so that's another case where we have a damage where it's not exclusively one, it's not exclusively the other. It's really more of a blend between two, and still I'm going to be responsible to pay. That's case number two. Case number three. Rav Ada Brahava Amar Lasuya Haditanya. Ko Elo Sha'amru Poskim Bivosem, Vigorfin Marasem Biyamosachama, Ein Lahem Rishus Biyamosag Shamim, Yesh Lahem Rishus. Rashi over here, if you take a look at Rashi on the side of the Gemara, so Rashi says that really what we're doing is considering a Gemara that we're going to learn later in the Masechta. Kol Elu Sha'amru, if you take a look at Rashi, it's a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. V'kachashav ha'azolahu Elu ha'poskim b'vosem v'gorfim ha'arasem klomer. Kol Elu Sha'amru chachamim sheish lam rishus lahashlich nizkeim l'rishus harabim. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, I forget which staff it is, but in Rashi over here doesn't mention it. But either way, we're going to learn together later that when we entered into Eretz Yisrael, so we're going to do something which is crazy, which was what we do all the time, and that is make a functional society. It's not easy, but we got to make one. And part of making a functional society is realizing that I'm allowed to do things and deposit things into Rishus HaRabim, which is not that particularly pleasant, but I have to allow, I want to do it for myself, I'm therefore going to have to allow other people to do it. It's basically the creation of a functional society. So, one of the things that's allowed is, let's say I have sewage, so I'm allowed to run sewage into the street. Again, it's not pleasant, but where am I going to run the sewage into? Okay, so nowadays we have a sophisticated sewage system, so where it doesn't have to go into the street. But in the good old days, and I guess this is where it's not so good, but in the good old days, in the not so good old days, so the sewage was, there was an allowance for sewage to be deposited in the street. Now with that stated, so that's not always the case. Meaning that when you're allowed to let sewage into the street, aside from the fact that it's slightly foul, more than that, it's also damaging. You are allowing water to run into the street, and so someone's going to slip and someone's going to fall. So that's also damaging. So what we're going to learn later on in the Masechta is that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and Yahushua said, look, we need a functional society, there is going to be permission granted to all homeowners to allow sewage to run into the street, but only seasonally. Which season? Specifically the winter months, not the summer months. And the reasons are obvious. Because in the winter months, you're not creating a hazard. There's already rain coming down. The streets are already wet. So the only thing that I'm doing when I'm running sewage into the street is, it's a little bit foul. But again, we all have to function. We all have to live. So there are certain things that society just has to tolerate. And Yehoshua said society's going to have to tolerate that. In the summertime, however, so then you cannot allow your sewage to run into the street. Why? Because now not only you're creating a hazard, and that you're not allowed to do. Meaning, even as a functional society, you're not allowed to just simply create hazards in the road. This is what we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. So now let's go back. Let's discuss. Kol elu she'amru poskim b'vaseim v'gorfim ma'arasehim. So one is allowed to open up his sewage and literally sweep the caves. So as I explained, but now we see the bright inside. In the wintertime you have permission. In the summertime you don't have permission. Okay. Flip it around in the bright side. But
they had storage and released it only in the wintertime?
Yeah, in other words, what did they do in the summer times? I'm not sure.
All right. Probably had
some kind of storage tanks. It's fair. That's more than fair to speculate. Could very well be. Okay. So the Alpha Pisha Birshus Im Hiziku Chayav Lashalim. Now, here it gets interesting. So now, in the wintertime, you have permission to deposit your sewage into the street. That's fine. However, just because you have permission to do so isn't going to protect you, and it's not going to indemnify you from any damages that it does. If it does damages, you're responsible to pay for those damages. You have the right to allow it to go into the street, but that doesn't indemnify you, doesn't protect you. So the Gemara says, so now you're going to be responsible to pay. So now the Gemara says, with all that stated, so let's consider. You're going to have to pay for damages if it damages, and why? Hechidami. So the Gemara says, so how does that work? So the Gemara says, well, if while you're running off the sewage, it damages while it's being run off. So the Gemara says, well, that is a direct result of your force. That's what's called koach. And koach is another way for describing adam. Meaning, if I hit you, that's damages. If I throw something at you, if I shoot at you, that's my damages. That is a force that is directly generated by me. So the damages that is produced falls clearly under the category of Adam. Fine. And fine meaning, so. But that's just one of. And once again, what we're looking for the course of this morning, on Davav in Baba Kama, is a combination, a blended of. So the Gemara says, so if the water did damage while it's running, so that's simply called Koach. So the Gemara says, so what we must be talking about is, I run the sewage into the street, the sewage comes to a rest, the water comes to a rest, and only after the water comes to rest, someone slips on it, falls, and now I have to be responsible to pay. So the Gemara says, Hechidame. Now again, here we go. The Gemara says, what exactly is the scenario? Well, if I was mafker, and chances are, if we're talking about sewage, you probably were mafkir. So if you're mafkir, so that falls under the category of bor, meaning under the exclusive category of bor. So mashna bor the tchilas asiyas al nezik u'mamanchos shmiras alacha. Ani nami tchilas asiyas al nezik u'mamanchos shmiras alacha. Ela de lo afkirinu. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're talking about a scenario where I was a mafkir, but the Gemara says, but still l'shmol da amar kulam ibor lamanu hainu bor. But according to Shmuel, it still falls under the category of bor. So the Gemara says, so why are we calling this a blended scenario? It's not a blended scenario. So the Gemara says, La'olam dafkarinu. Gemara says, okay, but let's talk about the situation where I'm running off the sewage. We're not changing the scenario. I ran the sewage into the street. The water came to a standstill. Somebody slipped on it. Somebody fell. Somebody hurt themselves, and I have to pay for the damages. And the Gemara says, and still, Lo dami labor. Ma labor shekein shelo b'rishus. Tamar barani de b'rishus. You see, when it comes to a pit in the Rishus Rabbim, I never am granted permission to dig a pit in the Rishus Rabbim. That's simply not my, it's never an option of mine. So there, when it comes to, I can't call the allowing sewage to run into the street, put it exclusively under the category of bor, because I'm not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, sure, yochiach. Well, am I allowed to have my animals walk through the Rishus Rabbim? Absolutely. But if it does any damages, I have to pay for the damages. So that's a little bit more similar to what we're describing. I'm allowed to run the sewage into the street, but if it does damages, I have to pay. So the Gemara says, Shor Yechiach. Ma'ala Shor Shekein Darko Leiluch Lahazik. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait, I can't compare the water to a bore, to a shore. A shore, when it does damages, it's Darko Lahazik, meaning that's the that's what it normally does. Water is not Darko Lahazik. Somebody could slip on it, but it's not fundamentally designed to create damages towards other things. So the Gemara says, okay, but the pit, meaning the pit doesn't go around damaging, the pit is going to damage only if somebody were to fall into it. So the Gemara says, so basically what we have over here, once again, is our blend. We have a blended scenario in which, when I deposit water into the Rishus Rabbim, and I have permission to do so because we're talking about the winter months. So, and somebody, and then after comes to rest, somebody slips and falls on it. So I'm going to have to pay for the damages. Why? Through a combination of shore and bore. Shore, because I had permission, just like I had permission to walk my animal through the street. And bore, because it came to a standstill. And then somebody else slipped on it after it's come to a standstill. So I put those two together, and then I arrive at this blended scenario, in which I'm going to have to be responsible to pay.
Each of the odds, though, have specific tours.
Right.
So that's, what happens in these blended cases?
That's correct. That's exactly what I raised in the beginning of this year this morning. Meaning that even when it's a blend, it's got to have one characteristic to it. It's got to. There's got to be a main of, and it's got to be not a subcategory, but in other words, there has to be the ikker and a tafel. All right, that's the best language I could probably use.
The tafel is both one or
I the Gemara doesn't say. Meaning, all the Gemara tells us is that it is blended, but to David's point, I'm also. As I was learning the daf, I was also wondering, but there's got to, ultimately, when the day's over, you have to put it under one category. You can't put it under two, because as we were learning over the course of this first parak of Baba Kama, each category has its times of exemption. So over here, which exemption is going to fall under? Right. So, but the Gemara doesn't mention it. And it's more than a worthwhile discussion. Ravina Amar, we're now on the top of Vav Amud Beis, and we are continuing in the Gemara, looking for other scenarios that it is a buy of responsibility. And so the Gemara says, so Ravina Amar Lasuya Hadidnan, Akosova Ilan, Shinaflu Rishus Rabin, Viziko Pater, Milashalim. Let's say you have a wall that was buttressed to a public, to a road, and the wall fell down. Or let's say you had a tree. It was right up against the public road, and it fell down, and it did damage. So you're going to be exempt from having to pay. However, nasnu lo zman lakotz esa ilam v'listor sekosa. But now, let's say you got a summons. Okay, I guess so. But you got you were served the following paperwork. We took a look at your wall, right? The association area. Now talking South Floridian terms. So the association comes over to you and says to you, right? That wall that you have is really it's not in good condition. It's going to fall down. You're going to have to take it down. Otherwise, you could be providing a hazard to the public or the tree. That tree is really unhealthy. That tree is going to fall on its own. And now we're expecting you to take down that tree. And they
Reagan
give,
said, huh? That's what Reagan said. Take down
that. Right. And the, So the they gave you a deadline to do so. Now I say association, by the way. Obviously, over here we're talking about basically some sort of basin, right? Or some sort of deputized city official, okay? Who is granted the responsibility of making sure that the roads are hazard free. And so they saw your tree. They saw they, They saw that you needed to take it down. And you were given an order. Let's, for the purpose of this discussion, let's call it a court order. And you were given a court order in order to take it down. And it before you took it down, it fell and it damaged. So what's the halacha? So here is how the halacha works out. If let's say you were given a deadline in order to take down the wall or to knock down your tree, and then it fell before the deadline was up, so then you're going to be exempt. And if let's say the deadline came and passed and you didn't take it down, and then it did damage after the deadline, so then you're going to be obligated. Now the Gemara says, now once again, let's circle the wagons because we know where we're going. Hey Chidami, Idafkare Ben Rab Ben Shwahinabor. Well, if you were mafkir the whatever was left over of the wool or of the tree, so then of course you're going to be obligated, because this is exactly the scenario of Bor. And the fact of the matter is that you had a tree that fell into the Rishos Rabim, and you are responsible to pay for any damages that it did. And if you were in Mafkarit, Lishmol Damar Kulami Bor Lamanu Hanabor. Still, according to Shmuel, it's considered a bor, and therefore falls under the category of bor. La Olam Dafkarinu Velo Dam Labor. So the Gemara says, where you were talking about a scenario where you were Mafkarit, and still, it's not exactly like bor. Mala Bor Shekain Tchilas Asiyasa Lenezek, Tomer Bahani. So the Gemara says, I still can't compare them, because look, when it comes to a boar, I dug up a pit in the Rishos HaRabim, and that by definition is creates a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. Over here, Tomer Bahani, She'in Tchilas Asiyasan Nezek. The tree was not in the Rishos HaRabim, the tree was on my property. It happened to be that it fell into the Rishos HaRabim. But it's not like boar. Boar, I'm creating the hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. In the case of the tree, I didn't create. It happened because of something I owned, but I didn't create it. Shor yochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's consider. What about a shor? A shor, once again, is an animal. It's my animal that goes into the Rishos HaRabim. My animal that goes into the Rishos HaRabim. So did I create that damage in the Rishos HaRabim? No. What all I did simply was allow an animal of mine to go into the Rishos HaRabim, and then, after having gone to the Rishos HaRabim, it does damage. So the Gemara says, okay, but my ox does damage only as it moves forward. It's not an object which does damage while it's stationary. It's an object that does damage while it moves forward. My fallen tree, my fallen wall, is only going to be doing damage if somebody trips on it, not that it is going to go out and do damage. So I really can't call it a shor. So I can't call it a boar because I didn't create the damage. I can't call it a shor because it's not going out and doing damage. So once again, where are we? We're in the point of Chazar Hadin, where basically it's going to be a blend between shor and boar. Yeah.
Land on a car.
Huh?
So if it lands on a car,
so that's ish. Meaning that is something where nature assisted. It's damaged with something else, so maybe we put that into the category of ish. We're talking about a scenario, the Gemara is very specific. We're talking about a scenario that after it landed, then somebody tripped over it and fell. So under those circumstances, so again, it's kind of like boar because it's stationary and somebody tripped over it. On the other hand, I didn't create it. So it's kind of like shor, where my animal went out into the Rishos HaRabim. Fine, but the animal is moving. This is stationary. So that's exactly the point. It's a blended.
The shor has das and do the damage usually.
Okay, but still, the characteristics is what we're looking at. Meaning you're right, but we're looking at the characteristics of nature, of the damage that's done. Okay, and now we wrap up. We are now at the very end of the Mishnah that we learned together, and the first off in Masechta Baba Kama, and the Mishnah says that once damage has been done, Chava Mazik L'Shalom Teshlomei Nezik B'Meitav Aris. The one who does the damage, the Mazik, is obligated to pay the assessed damage that was done using Meitav Aris. Remember the Mishnah, the Rashi back in the Mishnah? Rashi says Meitav Aris, very We're going to be discussing more of this over the course of this morning, but there are basically our three categories of property. We did this back in Gittin, in the fifth parak of Gittin. There are three different categories of property, A, B, and C. The Gemara doesn't use exactly that language. The Gemara's language is, itis, bainin, and ziboris. Itis is the best, bainin is mid-grade property, and ziboris is the most inferior properties. Rashi back in the Mishnah says that if you damage, you have to pay with your best property. Meaning, and you can't pay with money. You have to pay with property. Every time you damage, you're gonna have to apportion off some of your property. So if you remember Rashi back in the Mishnah, I'm gonna reread the Rashi back in the Mishnah. Mi'idus nechas of yigbed demei hazeko im rotzal lo karka. All the Mishnah meant is that if you're gonna pay with property, so you gotta pay with the best property, right? But from the Rashi, it seems exceedingly clear that that's just an option. You can pay with money if you want to pay with money as well. In the meantime, we're now on the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, and the Gemara's discussion goes like this. First, the Gemara nitpicks on the word that's used in the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the word chav, and really, the better word that is used, or should have been used, is the word chayev. Right? And if you take a look at Rashi, I'm sorry, it's not Rashi. If you take a look at, I'm sorry, Tosfos. Okay, other side. Okay, I knew it was here. Just, okay. Take a look at Tosfos. So he writes, and it's the first Tosfos on the Amud. So, Bishar Duchlin Lodai Kachi, Kigon In Chavla Adam, Elabafana, Vitofis Abachov, Bamakum Shech Chavla Acherim. Now, it's not that we've never seen the term Chav used before. In fact, Tosfos says, I'll show you two places in Shas where we have the word Chav as opposed to the word Chayev. So why the Gemara over here feels that Chayev is a much better word that should have been used rather than Chov or Chav. So Tosfos points out, Dahasam lo shayach lashon chiyuv ela lashon chova. So Tosfos says, yeah, but still, right. The word chiyuv means you're obligated. You're the one who is responsible to pay. So, if we're talking about a label of your responsibility, the better word that should have been used is chayev. Right? Let's say, for example, just to give another way to describe this. When you violate Shabbos, so we never say you're chov, we say that you're chayev, meaning you ultimately are the responsible party because you violated Shabbos. Even if you do so b'shogeg, you're chayev. You're still liable. Over here, if you created a damage, if you caused the damage, you're not chov. You're chayev. You're the responsible party. Correct. So the Gemara says, fine. So that should have been the better word that's used. So chav amazik, chav amazik mebaile, amarviyur amarav, haytani Yerushalmi, who did dan ilashna kalila. So the Gemara says it's a stylistic point. The author of the Tana is a Yerushalmi, and they use a lighter language. Meaning, if we were writing the Mishnah, I don't mean we around this room, but if we, meaning the Bavliim, who are learning the Mishnah. If we were writing the Mishnah, we would have said Chayev, and we wouldn't have wrote Chov. Okay. So the Lashon Teshlomei Nezik, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, this next discussion that we're going to be starting this morning and continuing into tomorrow is a discussion that we had. This is word for word a discussion we had from the fifth parak of Gittin. This would serve for us as excellent review. Let's begin this. Tana Rabbanan Meitav Sadeo Meitav Kamo Yishalem. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us that when you do damage to somebody else's property, somebody else's vineyard, and your animal goes off into somebody else's property and does damage, so you have to pay, and the Torah says, you have to pay with Meitav Sadeo Meitav Kamo. You have to pay with the best of your property. Now, when it says the best of your property, you know how this always works, and that is when the Torah uses a pronoun. And it is an unidentified pronoun, so there's an ambiguity in terms of who's the he that's being referred to. So, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamo Yishalem, Meitav Sadeo, Shal Nizak, Meitav Kamo, Shal Nizak, Divrei, Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says that when we're assessing, and you have to make restitution based on property, and based on his best property, his meaning, the one who was victimized, the one who was damaged, the nizak. You take a look at what would be his best property, and you have to make restitution based on his graded property. We discussed this back in Gittin, but I'll just reiterate again here right now, and that is that this grading of the property A, B, and C is not an objective grade. It's subjective. Subjective based on whatever is relatively around you. Meaning that for you, your A property is only going to be A because you got nothing better than that. Your C property is a C because you have nothing inferior than that. And then B would be something in the middle. So over here, when we're grading properties, we're grading on a curve. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, when the Torah says you're paying with his best property, we're talking about the one who was aggravated, the one who was damaged. Rabbi Kiva Omer lo ba'akas of Ella Gabos and the Zikin mina edis v'kavachom ala hekdesh. And Rabbi Kiva says no, that damages are going to be paid from the best, but the best of the mazik, not of that of the nizik, and the kavachomer is deduced from hektish. We'll talk later on about what exactly that kavachomer is making reference to. We're going to come back to that line later on. So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Shmuel, let's see if we could wrap our heads around Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint. Look, my animal goes into someone else's property, damages his best vineyard, his grade A property. So I have to pay grade A property as restitution. I get it. I understand that. But let's be clear. If my animal goes in someone else's property and damages his C grade property, I have to pay with A, even though ultimately the damage is C. I'm not denying that I have to pay back, but don't I have to pay back? Shouldn't I just have to pay back only measure for measure of that which I damaged?
Why shouldn't it just be value?
The Gemara's assumption on these grading of properties is that people would prefer, the value is always going to be equal. Meaning you're always going to assess and pay.
If you have A property, you could give more C.
Right.
If you have C property.
The general assumption, right. The general assumption the Gemara makes is that people want less of A than more of C. That's always the assumption going in. Right.
Usually liquidity.
Right. Quality over quantity, and as Ben points out, also it's a question of liquidity. Right. If you have A, it's just going to be easier to sell. So the So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, if I damage Khusha, I have to pay with Shmena? That doesn't make sense. So Amar Avidi Bar Avin, Hachba Maisinan Kagon Shachal Aruga Ben Arugos, Velo Yedinan, Ikhusha Achal Ishmena Achal. So the Gemara says, well, my animal went into a row, and he had some rows which were A and some rows which were C, and then my animal ate one of the rows, and now we're fighting over, well, which row did he eat? Did he eat an A row? Or did he eat a C row? So the Gemara says, Ikhusha achal ishmena achal. Demashalim shmena. So Amar Rava. So Rava says that can't be. Uma ilo yadin zikhusha achal mishalim elo khusha ashadol yadinan. Ikhusha achal ishmena achal. Mishalim shmena matzim chaveh ol avaraya. So Rava says that can't be because we generally know the rule of hamotzim chaveh. You can only extract money from somebody else if you know, not think, but know that that person owes you money. And when I say no, I mean that it has to be definitive. Possession is, in halacha, 10/10 of the law. And so if I'm only thinking that he owes me money, he may be owing me money, that is never in halacha going to be enough to be able to extract money from one person to another. Here, if, let's say, the person ate a row of produce, and we don't know if it's an A or if it's a C, and it could be either one of the two, there's no way the halacha is going to demand that the mazik is going to have to pay A based on a hunch, based on a guess. It violates the most basic rules of hamotzmi chaver ol avaraya. In fact, it's even difficult, to be honest. It's difficult to even understand what the havamina of the Gemara was. You're never going to extract money unless you know you have to pay. So the Gemara says, so over here, this entire machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is really limited to a very limited scenario, and that's the following. Let's say the one who was damaged, his best property is really not that great. In other words, for him, it was the best. And when you look at the mazik, so from the mazik standpoint, the A of the one who was damaged is basically the C of the one who did the damages. So now the question becomes the following. I damaged his best property. But look at his best property. He can call it an A, but from where I am and from where my properties exist, that's really a C. His A is comparable to my C. So the Gemara says, now over Hapligi. This is the debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Savra B'Denizak Shaminan, Rabbi Akiva Savra B'Damazak Shaminan. Now it's a question of, we know that properties are graded and we know that the properties are graded on a curve. Now the question becomes, whose curve are we grading on? Are we grading on the one who was damaged? Or are we grading based on the one who did the damage? And then, as the Gemara is going to go forward, the Gemara is going to go and explain what is the source for Rabbi Shmuel, what is the source for Rabbi Akiva. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up exactly at this point in time in terms of what are the various sources. The Kal V'Chomer that Rabbi Akiva had, we'll explain that as well. And we'll continue into tomorrow's daf. Let's just quickly recap. In the course of this morning's daf, we talked about something that does not fit in categorically into any one of the avos exclusively, but rather it's a blend. We know there's such a thing as a blend because the Mishnah at the very tail end said Hatzara Shava Shabahem, that there's a common denominator, meaning we can have scenarios in which we can actually create a damage which is a combination of one of the two. The Gemara went through four different suggestions, four possibilities of cases in which it's going to be a blended damage. And yet the damaged party is going to be responsible to pay. The question which I left unanswered is that which one is the main, which one's the ikker, which one's the tefel? The Gemara doesn't express it. It's a worthwhile discussion. It's a worthwhile endeavor to try to come to that conclusion. Why did the Mishnah use the word chav as opposed to chayev? So the Mishnah says because stylistically the author of the Mishnah used a lighter language. And finally, when you have to pay with Meitav Haaretz. Again, as we pointed out, Rashi said you can pay with money, you don't have to pay with property. But when you pay with property, you have to pay with the best property. Who's best? So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. But the Gemara really really reduced the machlokes to a scenario in which the victimized property is best, is equivalent to the damager's worst. Under those circumstances, even though we're grading on a curve, the question becomes, whose curve are we grading on? The damager or the damagee? And tomorrow we'll continue.